the sugya of Ein Shteyach L'Dvar Avera in the Ketzos HaChoshen, that's Choshen Mishpatzim and Shin Mem Ches in the Ketzos HaChoshen, it is Seif Katan Dalet. And we'll start, as we said, with the tour in Shin Mem Ches, Seif Yud Gimel, and then we'll move forward into the Ketzos from there. So in the two we've got the same as we have in the Shulchan Aruch. So he starts with a case with Reuven claims that Shimon stole his svarim, came into his room and stole his svarim. Shimon says, "It's true, I took the svarim, but it was at the request of your daughter-in-law who asked me to take them out because they were too heavy for her. So as far as I knew, I was just helping her out." And quoting from the Chuvas HaRosh, the Tur says, Shimon has to get the svarim back to Reuven. He had no right to go into Reuven's room and take out svarim without his permission, because we assume that anything which is in somebody's house belongs to them. And in fact, the fact that then he says that she lifted them up and gave them to him, but he says that Hagbo is irrelevant because he himself acknowledges that she couldn't take them out of the room. A Hagbo Birushus Hayochid doesn't work. And she couldn't take them out. So she, without him, she wouldn't have done the Maise. So he was very active in it all, and therefore he is Chayev. He says that she is Chayev too, and Reuven can elect who he wants to claim from. The part that concerns us is the Darkei Moshe, who brings from the Mordechai, in the name of the Maharam Rotenberg, who's the Mordechai's Rebbe, is that right? Deheched ha-shaliach lav bar chiyuve, have you got that in the Darkei Moshe?
Yes.
The Chosav ha-Mordechai.
Yes.
Kama de Metzia. Deheched ha-shaliach lav bar chiyuve, mechayiv sholchoi. That in this case, if the shaliach is not somebody who could be chayev of the isur geneva, then the mishaleach is chayev. V'im omar lechaveroi kach lishor mi beis plonish hu sheli v'nimtza achakach sheloi or sheloi elo lignoiv niskaven. And furthermore, not only if the shaliach is not a bar chiyuve, but if the shiliach doesn't know that he's performing a geneva, for example, you tell him to take a shur from so-and-so's house, on the mind of the shiliach, that shur belongs to the mishaleach. Chayev sholchoi ba'achrayis shel shur b'meshichas ha-shaliach. When the shiliach does a meshicha b'rishus ba'ilim, because a meshicha does work, is that right? Which way around is it? A hagbo birushus bailim. A hagbo birushus bailim, I think, does work, and the meshicha doesn't work until you're outside of the rishus bailim. So if he is mosheh, the shliach is mosheh, or shliach lo yodo shehu ganav, the shliach doesn't know that it's ganav, and as he takes it out of the rishus bailim, he becomes the mishaleach becomes chayev. So that awareness of the shaliach is the issue that we're going to be talking about. To what extent is the consciousness of the shaliach a factor in Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera? If his lav bar chiyuva is the one situation, that it might go back to the mishaleach, and the other situation is where he doesn't know that that he's doing an issue. And the reason for that would be the svaras for Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, which we'll see in Bov Metzia. The svaras are, number one, Divrei Arava, Divrei Atalmid, Divrei Mishomin. So there's no excuse in saying, I was told to do it, which is the whole ethical and philosophic argument against, for example, the Nazis, who said they were following orders. So that idea of following order doesn't apply when you, the follower, know the orders is illegal or immoral. Then you have an obligation not to follow the order. If you follow the order, then you're choosing to do the avera yourself, and you can't then blame the instructor. And the other reason is the Gemara says that iboy ovid, iboy eloy ovid, that he has choice. We need to understand the difference between those those two views. But what's clear is where there seems to be no moment of dilemma, of choice on the part of the shliach, but it's almost a direct consequence of the instruction issued by the mishaleach. So, for example, if the shliach were an automatic robot, then of course the mishaleach is chayev. It doesn't make him potter because he was a robot. And human beings can be robots. For example, you can have a cherishet of a cotton. You can have, and it will be an interesting thing to question when a person is threatened with his life, whether that makes him robotic. So when the Nazi says, I did what I was told because I knew if I didn't carry out orders, I would be killed. Does that entitle him to say, the Mishaleach knew I would do what he told me to do because he threatened to kill me if I didn't? So we've got what we're looking at are the boundary lines. At what point is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira really dependent on the extent of the moral choice that the Shliach has? And where it's a shogeg that the shliach has no awareness of it being an issue, then number one, he might be an employee of the mishaleach. So the mishaleach tells an employee to go and fetch a shor for him. Why would the employee not do it? He has to do it. It would be insubordination if he didn't do it. It's a geneva. He doesn't know it's a geneva. So that's the case that we're dealing with here. V'namiki Yosef, and then the Namiki Yosef comes along and says, "Because of the shliach chayev, the shliach dvar aver afidu b'mokum, dein shliach yodai moisi isu." The Namiki Yosef comes with a huge chiddush to say that ein shliach l'dvar aver applies even when the shliach has no knowledge of the isu. So how does that work with divrei Rav, divrei Talmid, divrei Mishoimin, and the fact that he boy ovid, he boy lo ovid, particularly if he's an employee or if he's fearful? Why boy loy ovid if he doesn't know that it's isur? So logically and conceptually, the Namuki Yosef is incredibly difficult to understand. Mathematically, it's fine because we have a principle of ein shliach l'dvar aveira. That's a principle in kol ha'torah kula, and that's it. So that almost the two approaches here in the Rishonim, and I think in the Achronim also, revolve around: do we treat it just formalistically and say, this is the formula, ein shliach l'dvar aveira, and go and figure out how it works in each situation, but it works. Or do we say, no, ein shliach l'dvar aveira is an extension of a svara, and therefore applies. It is a svara, in fact. It's not a formalistic halacha. It's not a formula. It's a svara of divrei Rav, divrei Talmid, divrei Mishoimin. That's what ein shliach l'dvar aveira is. And I think that's the machlokes right through the sugya. Is ein shliach l'dvar aveira a formula, or is it a svara?
And the way Brian's choice of words was, is Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira and Bar Chiyuva and all these things fundamental halacha? And it doesn't matter necessarily pragmatically what the fellow can do, can't do, will do, won't do. There is a klal of Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira, and there's a klal of whether you are chayev or not chayev.
Yes, that's exactly the same idea in slightly different words. I would take it further and say the reason that there is this machlokes in how to understand Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira is because Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira overarches Isurim and Mominus. So it's and in fact it goes into Kodshim as we see in Chagiga. So if Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira is a universal principle that applies literally b'chol ha'Torah kulo, perhaps we do have to treat it fundamentally as a formula. Because we know that the svara works in Noshim and Ezekin. Svara doesn't necessarily work in Kodshim and even in Isurim. And parts of it it does. There's svara there, but we know that Mominus is kuli svara. The whole thing is svara, apart from a couple of psukim in this week's parasha. By the way, as an aside, I don't know if you get the emails or not, but you should listen to the shir I gave last Sunday on Parshas Mishpatim, because from a lot of reasons, it's probably one of the most important shirim I've ever given, and clarifies a lot of the things that we've often talked about, including the role of Mominus, of Dinei Mominus, in the whole of Torah, and why it's such an important part in Aseres HaDibros and so on. It's actually just a very fundamental shir. Did you get the email with the links?
Are you saying it's on this week's parsha?
On Mishpatim, yes. On Sundays, I give the shir on the following parsha.
I didn't. The last one I got was the halacha versus halacha in Yisro. Large halacha, small halacha.
Yeah. You didn't get it. I wonder if we didn't send out a notification on this because I didn't send an essay this week. So I need to send something out. It's on Parshas Mishpatim this year. So if you go into I Awaken, onto the Torah Shirim, go down to Parshas Mishpatim, and there you'll see 5773. That shir is really very worthwhile to listen to, and I'd be interested in discussing with you afterwards. And tonight I'll be continuing in Parshas Truma. I plan to continue and take that idea a little further. Still, so it's quite interesting, and that will explain to some degree the whole idea of svara being an issue in Momnas. But if Ein Shliach de Dvar Avera overarches Kol HaTorah Kulo, and I think you probably saw, I don't remember who it was, uses that phrase, I think Rashi, Kol HaTorah Kulo. That's what I think it means. This is not just a svara in Momnas that you can treat logically and where it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. This is more than that. This is also an overarching principle, and therefore we have to deal with it as a mathematical formula and apply it wherever it works, wherever it needs to be applied. And that seems to be the approach of the Truma, of the Nemuka Yosef. Aye, there are various kashas, so he deals with those kashas and brings certain rayas, and we'll see them inside. So it says the Darkei Moshe, V'chumas Hadeshin, Simon Shin Tesvov, Reuven, Herol, Leganev, Mefursom. Sorry, if Nemuka Yosef bepek meruba, because of the shliach chayv, the shliach devar avera, afilu b'makom den shliach yodeim esi isuv ayin sha. Uvitrumas hadeshin simen shin tesvov ruuven hera leganav mefursom machteres shelevi lignov mitecha. The Trumas hadeshin writes that Ruven shows a well-known ganav, a hiding place of Levi, and tells him to steal from there. Ruven potu. Ruven's potter. L'chayra, why is Ruven potter? Because ein shliach l'dvar avera. And the fact that he's a ganav mefursam, and the fact that he shows him a machteres, this is a secret hiding place. It's clearly not mine that's just being kept by Ruven, or Levi. It's clearly not mine that Levi's just keeping. I go and take you to Levi's secret safe, and I tell you to break the combination, and inside it you're going to find certain treasure and take it out for me. You can't claim that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's clearly a gun and he's going to do it. But the Trumas Hadeshin says a strange thing. The reason you're potter is because it's groma. Asks the Darkei Moshe, why do you have to come onto groma l'nizokin? It's en shlech d'var avera. On that, the Hagos Drisha Uprisha says, this is different because I don't know if you've got that. Have you got our ghost, Drisha Prisha?
Yeah.
V'li nira d'shani hocha. D'yoda bevadai d'yavur ha'avera v'yignov. He specifically creates the situation, the Trumas Hadeshin. By the way, the Trumas Hadeshin, many of his shilas were not real shilas. He formulated the shilas as a way of writing the halacha. So he created case studies, many of them, if not all of them. So when he says the case, he's deliberately saying this is a case of a ganav mefursa. What's the relevance of the gun of Mefursim, says the Agos Adrisha Prisha, because we know for sure he's going to do it. The gun of Mefursim, whoever ain't Shaykh Lomer can, the Sovar Amashalach, the Loyavar Aver, Mishum, the Divra Rav, the Divra Tam, the Divra Mishomin. This is robotic. He's a gun of Mefursim, which means he's in the habit of Geneva, he has no conscience about Geneva, everybody knows he's a Geneva, he's being hired as a gun of. There's no question that he's going to do it. It's almost as if he doesn't have choice. It's true that he has the choice to do or not to do. And maybe that's also part of it. Is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera a p'tur for the Meshaleach? You're potur because you were entitled to assume that the Shliach wouldn't do it. Or is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera a chiyuv for the Shliach? You're chayuv because you could have said no. If you say it's a chiyuv for the Shliach, then it doesn't matter that you're a gan of Mefursim. You're chayuv because you could have said no. But if the whole reason is it's a p'tur for the Meshaleach because you could have thought he's not going to listen to me, here is a kind of Mefursim. You know he's going to listen to you. So it would seem that the Trumas Hadeshin takes the view that it's a p'tur for the Meshaleach, and therefore that p'tur doesn't apply here. But he's still potter because of Gromel and Azukin. So what did he do? So then you've got to say, well, he didn't actually do the... Nobody did the Geneva. the shliach didn't do the geneva because he was acting on the instructions of the ganav, of the mishalach, and the mishalach didn't do the geneva because he knew that the ganav would do it, and he assumed the ganav would do it. But there's nizikin. The fact is, he's damaged Levi, says the Trumas Hadeshim, but that's groma ben nizikin. So al shlichus, there's no shlichus because ein shliach the dvar avera. Al nizikin, there's no nizikin because of groma ben nizikin. And I was thinking, who says the Trumas Hadeshim doesn't hold that there's ein shliach the dvar avera? He might just be saying, in addition to ein shliach the dvar avera, there's also the question of groma ben nizikin. But the Biur Hagro says mefurish on this, on the Simon, the Biur Hagro on this, on the Ramo says la'afuke mitrumas hadeshim. So he clearly holds that there's a machlokes between the Ramo and the Trumas Hadeshim on this. When the Ramo says v'tzorich iyun, he's chilek on the Trumas Hadeshim, and the and Agos Drishu Prisha tries to be mefarish the Trumas Hadeshim. But clearly the Ramo doesn't hold that. So the Ramo probably holds that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is a Ptur for the Shliach. And in this case, is a Chiyu for the Shliach. Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is a Chiyu for the Shliach because you had the right to say no. And here you also did. The fact that you're a Shliach Mefursim doesn't mean you're Potter because you're Mefursim. You still had the right. You know it's an Issu. You know it doesn't belong to Reuven, who was your Mishaleach, you, and you could have said no, so you're the person who's Chayiv. And since you're Chayiv, we don't have to come onto Groma ben Ezik, and the Chiyuv is the Chiyuv of the Shaliach, not of the Mishaleach. So that's an interesting, and that might be the Machloikis Trumas Hadeshin and Ramo, as to whether Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is a Chiyuv, a Mechayiv for the Mishaleach, or it's a Ptur for the a Mechayiv for the Shaliach, or a Ptur for the Mishaleach.
Right.
So that's the Ptur and the Beis Yosef. The Ptur and the Ramo and the Darkei Moshe. So now in the Shulchan Aruch itself, as we've got it in the text of the Ktzeis HaChoshen, the Shulchan Aruch says the Ramo says on Shulchan Aruch, in the case of Tzorich iyun mihu. Have you got that?
Yeah.
Im ashaliach eino bar chiyuve. So that's the case of the Numuke Yosef. Is that right? That's the eino bar chiyuve. That's the case that the Ramo brings of the Numuke Yosef. Yeshomim de hamashaliach chayiv.
I believe it's the Mordechai, right?
That's the Mordechai saying hamashaliach chayiv. And the Nuki Yosef who says the Shaliach is Chayiv. So that's the Machlekes Mordechai and Nuki Yosef. Yeshem Rim de HaMashaleach Chayiv. Just want to see on what that Biur Hagro actually went. So the Biur Hagro goes earlier. Hamare lechaveru lignoiv or sholcho lignoiv, ein hamishaleach chayiv, de ein shliach the dvar avero. So on that, hamare lechaveru lignoiv or sholcho lignoiv, ein hamishaleach chayiv, de ein shliach the dvar avero. On that, the Vilna Gaon says, so here he says that's not the reason is because of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. The reason is not because of Groma Ben Izokin. And it seems the Vilna Gaon holds, since the Ramo is not mechalek between whether the Shliach knows or does not know, that he holds in all cases Ein Shliach, that is whether the Shliach is Shoigeg or not, he seems to hold in all cases the Mishaleach will be Potter. Is what he seems to be holding, because the Vilna Gaon brings from here a raya against the Trumas Hadeshim, but the Trumas Hadeshim is speaking specifically where he doesn't know. And here the Ramo just says Hamare l'chaveru lignov or sholcho lignov ein hamishaleach chayev, but he doesn't say under what circumstances.
So So when the Rama said Mihu im hashliach eino bar chiyuva, who is that? What kind of person is that? Eino bar chiyuva.
So he's somebody who wouldn't be chayev geneva. Well, interesting. Does that mean eino bar chiyuva because he's like a cheresh shoyt of a cotton? Or does it mean eino bar chiyuva because he's a shoygeg?
Right, lacks yediyah.
He lacks yediyah. If it's a difficult to say that, that's a felt bar chiyuva. He is a bar chiyuva. It's just that in that situation, he's not chayev.
Again, fundamentally versus...
So we're going to have to kind of unpack this Ramor. By the time we're finished with the Ktsos HaChoshen, we're going to want to understand the Ramor, because the Ramor is quite complex and ambiguous, taking into account the Darkei Moshe and the Machlokes Trumas HaDeshen and Ramor. So we've got a Machlokes Nemuki Yosef and Mordechai in the case of Shoigeg, and we've got a Machlokes Ramor and Trumas HaDeshen in the case of... Sorry, we have a Machlokes... Nemuki Yosef and Mordechai on Bar Chiyuva, is that right?
Yeah.
And we have a Machlokes Trumas HaDeshen and
on Yediyah. The first Machlokes is if there's a lack of Yediyah, does that
right? A lack of Yediyah, does that do it? And then we've got whether he's Bar Chiyuva, he's not Bar Chiyuva.
When you're talking to them, it's the Nezikin aspect.
And then, so there's
for a veira where you're putting the guy into a situation where it's certain he's going to do the
right. So that's the Trumas HaDeshen, and it varies from Einu Bar Chiyuva to being a Bar Chiyuva but Einu Yodea, yeah, to being not only Yodea but Vada, where there's no choice. So there are three different reasons why. So normally we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera and the Shliach is Chayev. There are three different reasons why we might move the Chiyuv back to the Meshaleach. The one could be that the Shliach is Lav Bar Chiyuva. We've got to examine that. The other could be the Shliach is a Shoyeg and had no choice because he didn't know there was an Isur. And the third could be that the Shliach knew absolutely, but because he's an automate, he's a Mefursim, the Meshaleach knew for sure he was going to do it. Yeah. Those are the three possible reasons why we might override the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera.
What about Reb Salmas?
Well, that's part of the fact that he has the ability to make that decision. And we haven't yet clarified in our minds, at least I haven't, you might have, as to exactly what the difference is between Iboi Ovid and Iboi Lo Ovid. But the Ktsos HaChoshen plays with that difference. So we'll see that when we get into it. So let's start working with the Ktsos HaChoshen now on the various pieces that he brings in.
Do you feel that the Darkei Moshe says anything more than just outlining the two shitas? Is he bringing any?
The fact that he challenges the Trumas HaDeshen. So whatever the Trumas HaDeshen is saying, he disagrees with. And that's why the Vilna Gaon says, but the Vilna Gaon says it in a strange place, but that's why the Vilna Gaon says, La'afuki mitrumas HaDeshen. So there's clearly a machlokes Ramo and Trumas HaDeshen on where there's a reasonable assumption that the Shliach is going to carry it out even though it's an Avera.
Right, which is the same as our case where the Ganav says to him, go get my animal from that house, where it was Tosfos. Tosfos says that the Meshaleach knows that the guy's going
to
do it.
Yes, very similar. So I want to examine that when we get to that. Are there differences between those two cases? So in that case, for example, where we know, so that's a case where the Shaliach doesn't know that there's an Avera.
Yes, sir, right.
And particularly if the Shaliach is, I'm liking to assume that in many of these cases, the assumption is the Shaliach is an employee. Because it seems that the Meshaleach has some power over the Shaliach. Otherwise, Iboi Ovid, Iboi Lo Ovid also doesn't work that well. So it's not sufficient just to say he didn't know. He didn't know, but he still decided to do. So it's much easier to think of him as an employee. It's not just do me a favor and go and get this cow for me. Why would I do that? Well, I would want to know a little more about it before I got involved. But if I'm an employee, I work for you, and you tell me, please go and fetch my car, it's in such
you're adding a compulsion, which is not the standard case of Shliach.
So let's go through it. Just bear that in mind, because you'll see in some cases it's going to make it easier to understand if you think of it as an employee. An employee is a Shliach.
Who's getting paid as well.
Yes, a paid Shliach is fine. A paid Shliach is fine. You'll see, we'll examine. Maybe we'll say it depends. If you have the power over him as an employer, maybe it's different. Let's have a look at that. But it's also from a halachic perspective in our own lives, this becomes very important in terms of what a boss can ask an employee to do and what are the rights and the expectations of the employee and the fulfillment of that, and to what degree does the employee have to check that what the boss is asking to do is legal. Is that an obligation of his, or can he just assume that it's legal? So it becomes really quite a relevant sugya for everything that we deal with. Perhaps we should in fact start off with, since the Ktzos HaChoshen himself starts off with the Gemara in Bava Kamma, let's start with the Gemara in Bava Kamma.
Right, which I was going to ask how you chose to go straight to the tour.
Well, I always do, because remember I've said to you, I've always thought that the Ktzos HaChoshen is more of a almost more of a parish on the Beis Yosef than on the Shulchan Aruch. At least he takes for granted that you've been there. It's quite clear from all the Ktzos we've learned that he takes for granted that you know the Beis Yosef. In this particular sugya, there wasn't much to see in the Beis Yosef, but the Dar Kemoshe was very important.
Interesting, because we did end up at the... We ended at the tour. We began with the Gemaras.
Yeah, always start with the tour. In fact, you know, if you're learning Halacha, if you're learning Mishnah Berurah, that's a different story. You're learning Mishnah Berurah, you go through Mishnah Berurah. But if you're learning halacha, real, real proper halacha, in I don't remember if it was in this shir, this last Sunday night shir that I referred you to, or the previous one, where I explained the difference between halacha with a capital H and a small H, and I wrote about it also in one of the essays. If you're learning halacha with a capital H, then always start with a two. That's your starting point. And include the Rambam. Those are pillars of halacha. If you're just learning halacha, you're learning dinim, then you do the Shulchan Aruch and the Sekelov. But always start with the two. And it's clear to me that the Beis Yosef assumes, that the Ktzos HaChoshen assumes that you're familiar with the Beis Yosef. So in the Gemara now in Bava Kamma, the case is in the Mishnah on Ayin Tesem with Aleph about Geneva Birushus HaBailim is really what we're dealing with, and to what extent that works, particularly with Arba V'Chamisho, and particularly because of the limitation of Kinyonim, because Hagbo works in Rishus HaBailim, but Mashiche doesn't work in Rishus HaBailim. So we go, Hoyom Moshe V'yotze, so a man is being Moshech an animal out of a Rishus HaBailim, on his way out of the Bailim's property. Umeis be Rishus HaBailim. And the animal dies in the Rishus HaBailim, potu. So he leaves the carcass there and he goes, and he has no chiv. Because he's not a ganav, as Rashi, I think, says, Hayagon of Moshe v'yetzit potu miklum, he's not yet a ganav. Higbiyoi oyhutziyo mirishus bailim, if he lifted it up, either way is a yitziyah of Rishus Bailim. Whether you lift it up vertically or you carry it out horizontally, you're moving it out of the Rishus Bailim. And at that point, you've made a kinyan, umes, and if it dies after a hagbo or after a yitziyah in Rishus Bailim, chayiv, then you're chayiv. Says that Rashi afilu birishus bailim, share hagbo koine bechol mokom b'maseches kiddushin. Nosnu li bechayrois, Benoi, or the Baal Chayiv, the Shemachinim, the Shoel, the Noise Soko, the Seicher, if he gives it over to somebody that he contracts with. So now we're introducing a third party, which could be a Kohen who has an entitlement to money for the Bechayr, or a Bal Chayiv, who he owes money to, or a Shemechinim Shel Noisesocher, or Secher, who he wants to give it to, and he was being Moshech Umeis B'Rishus HaBailim, and during the Mashiach died in the Rishus HaBailim, Potus, that's the same case, there's been no Kinyan, no matter how you learn it, the animal is still B'Rishus HaBailim, so there's no difficulty. Higbiyo Shiritzi B'Rishus HaBailim, what happens if he was Magbiya, and the question is, who is the he? Umeis Chayev. And the animal dies, is Chayev. So the question is, who is the Magbiya and who is Chayev? On that, the Mishnah is somewhat ambiguous, says Rashi. The one way of learning it is that the Baalim gave it to a Kohen. And who carried it out? And the Kohen carried out, so what's the Shaila? What's the whole thing? What's the Chayev or not Chayev about? Okay. Lishnachrina, the other way of learning it, which is the simpler way of learning it, Nesono Ganav Libacheres Benay, Venosan Lusham Bamokam Shigunavo Lashem Echinim Alushail, in the property of the owner, he gives it to the Kohen or to the Shoyel or to the Shem Echinim or whoever. He to whom he gave it is doing the Mashiche in the Rishus Baalim, Potter HaGanav Miklum. Then the Ganav, the man who took it from, who instructed the other guys to take it, is Potter. Loshon Achrina Iker, and we're learning it with the Loshon Achrina, HaChayev Aganav Kai, that the Chayev goes on the Ganav. The Mechayev Ganav Bekinyan Shuluchov. Because the Ganav is Chayiv with the Kinyan of the Shiliach. The whole reason to maybe learn it in this convoluted way and say it's the Baalim who gives it to the Shomer, which doesn't seem the pashtus of the Mishnah. The reason to do that is because if you don't do that, then the Ganav becomes Chayiv for the Kinyan of a Shiliach, and we know En Shiliach Ledvar Avera. But Rashi doesn't seem to be worried about that. He says, the Aganav Kaidem Chayiv Ganav Bekinyan Shluchov. Because if it's the owner who gave it to the Kohen or to the Shomer, what does Chayiv mean? He, the Shoyel, Matzilame, Chayiv Bo'insin. The Shoyel, I understand. The question is whether he becomes Chayiv Bo'insin or not. And Oshar Shomer, Mi Chayiv, Bemesa Kedarko, the animal just died of its own. It wasn't Machmas Melocha, or it wasn't an Oines or anything else. What is the Chayiv? Void Legabi Kohen of Al Chayiv, my Chayiv, a Foto. What's the din of Motze in Loshon of Chayiv and Potter? The Loshon doesn't make any sense. So the Pashtus HaMishneh, says Rashi, is that the Shaliach, meaning the Kohen or the Shomer, takes the animal out on the instruction of the Ganav, and by doing the Kinyan, the Shaliach, by doing the Kinyan, is Mechayev the Ganav, even though we say in Shaliach Lidvar Avera, for some reason we're not worried about that here. Here, yes, Shaliach Lidvar Avera. So again, if we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is a Svora, then Rashi takes it completely for granted that Svora doesn't apply here. And that he's showing him something which would then tie into the Ramo, is that right? When the Ramo says that if you show a gun of something, yeah, that's right. Sorry, exactly the opposite. So Rashi, for some reason, takes it for granted the Yeshliach Lidvar Avera. Even in such a case, and probably because the Pashtus at this point, before we know anything more, he holds that the Ein Shliach Lidvar Avera is a Svora. The Svora is Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomin. And here there's an assumption that if I'm giving a Shomer, I say, can I borrow a cow? And I say to you, sure. Here's the address where my cow is. Go and take it and borrow it. The assumption of the Shoel is that it belongs to you, and the whole Svora of Ein Shliach Lidvar Avera would then not apply. Is the Pashtus how we would learn Rashi. Yeah.
And are you limiting it to Ravina of Ein Bar Chayuv, or can you include Rav Sama as well? which Ivoi, you know, that he has a choice. Because both of them could...
So it depends how you learn Ivoi Ovidi Ivoi Loi Ovid. If Ivoi Ovidi Loi Ivoi Ovid is similar to Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, it's similar to Divrei Rav Divrei HaTalmid, meaning that you could question, you could find out, and so on. But do we require that of somebody who... Is it reasonable to expect that if I come to borrow something from you, and you say yes and give me an address as to where to collect it,
question.
Is it necessary even for me? In other words, do I even go through that process of should I or shouldn't I? I think that's the question of Ivoi Ovidi Loi Ivoi Ovid. If somebody goes through a question of should I question this or shouldn't I? If there's no reason to question, I don't think that's even Ivoi Ovidi Loi Ivoi Ovid. Although we'll see in the Ksos HaChishon he might want to go that far and say it is. But Pashtus, in learning Rashi so far, I would say that it doesn't even come onto Ivoi Ovidi Ivoi Loi Ovid, and it certainly doesn't come to Divrei Rav Divrei HaTalmid, because nothing goes through my mind to even question the action.
Okay. There's no moral decision.
There's no moral choice. Says Tosfos, after bringing the Rashi,
Tosfos will actually take a tzad on that, on Ivoi. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Nasnu.
Nasnu b'chuz benoino, and he brings the Rashi, the Loshon HaKuntres. And then he says... And he brings various reasons why Rashi's right. So he questions what Rashi seems to take for granted. So here he introduces a new thing into the awareness of the Meshaleach. So up till now we've been saying that the whole question is, does the Shaliach get into a state of moral dilemma? If he does, then he's making his own choices and he assumes Chiyuv. But if there's no moral dilemma that's even raised, then he's not making any kind of moral choice, and he has no chiyuv. But Tosfos here introduces something more and says, what's important is to what degree is the Meshaleach entitled to assume that the Shaliach will carry out his order? If he says, look, I'm going to tell him to do it, it's his decision whether he wants to do this. I don't want to do anything. So I'm telling somebody else to do it. And he can make his choice if he wants to do an issur, that's fine. But here he knows that he will take it. So in the case of a Shoyel and a Soicher and all these people and even a Kohen, that's very clear. It's here that I want to say, if you want to extend this to a regular Shoyel, to a regular Shaliach, you might assume that he's an employee. Because if a Stammer person says to you, I want you to go and take this cow from so-and-so's property and bring it to me, isn't the first thing you're going to say is, you know, what's going on, and who does the cow belong to? So it seems to be, and the Mishnah's choice of examples of shlichim are all shlichim that are entitled to it. There's already a deal. The shul says, can I borrow from you? And you say yes. So in a sense, when the shul goes to fetch it, he's doing something which has been cleared and clarified. So we're talking about not just a shliach who's just out of the blue. You walk to a person across the street and you say, go into this house and you know, you'll find a diamond necklace on the dining room table. Please bring it to me. There you might say that the shliach, one would expect the shliach to question it, but maybe not if he's an employee. And certainly not if he's a shul sofer, and so on, and you've already agreed.
Shomer Kinnam, though, is a little bit different, though. If you assume a Shomer Kinnam, someone does a favor, doing a favor, he has no sure. Shaul's going to get benefits of Moses Safar, Sofa, all these people have some benefits,
right.
Before there's a reason why they might bother going to do it. But the Shomer Chinam, though, it's...
You're right, the Shomer Chinam is probably the most extreme case of shouldn't this guy just ask, happy to take care of it, but whose is it? It's interesting. It's like the banks now. So the banks now, since all the trouble, want to know whose the money is that you're depositing. Isn't that right? That's why the bureaucracy, all these new laws are designed for the bank to be reasonably sure that the money you're depositing is not illegal money. Because the new laws make the banks responsible as principals. So if the banks found to be handling terrorist money or any kind of illegal money, all this new legislation around the world has made the banks responsible, which has caused the banks to get into a really scary place, and that's why all this bureaucracy, they've now set up all these very complicated algorithms to check whether there's any reason to suspect that you might be an unsavory person. And that's why you've got to give all this information now when you open an account. Whereas in the old days, the banks, and particularly in Switzerland, asked no questions. So that's it comes onto the same thing too. You're a shomer, whether you're a shomer chinam or a shomer socher. This is even more because I'm telling you to go into somebody else's rishus to take out money. In the case of banking, I'm taking it out of my own. You're entitled to assume that even if I pull cash out of my briefcase, I guess you're entitled to assume it's mine. But with the new banking laws, you're not. You know, the banks aren't potter because of making those assumptions. So that's the piece that we really need in the Tosfos. Tosfos throws in this new... So Tosfos confronts the issue of Rashi. Rashi doesn't seem to be troubled because we assumed that Rashi learns that the whole Ptur is based on a Ptur for the Shaliach in that he had no moral choice to make. Tosfos goes further and says it's really a Ptur for the Meshaleach. Sorry, Rashi learns it's a Chiyuv for the Shaliach. And if there's no basis for that Chiyuv, he's a Shoigeg, then why would there be a Chiyuv? There's no Chiyuv for a Shoigeg. Right. Tosfos seems to learn it's a Ptur for the Meshaleach. And it's based on the fact that the Meshaleach is entitled to assume that the Shaliach will make his own moral choices. And since here there is no basis on which to make the moral choices, the Meshaleach's assumption is that he will do what he's told to do, and therefore the Meshaleach is chayev because he has no ptur. So it seems to be that Rashi learns it as a chiyuv, ein shliach ledvar avera is mechayev a shliach, and according to... And where there's no such mechayev, he's not chayev. And Tosfos learns ein shliach ledvar avera is a ptur for the meshaleach. And that's how they understand it.
And it has to be exclusive? If Tosfos feels that it's, speaking to the meshaleach, he therefore says it's not a din on the shliach? Like, is it only one or the other?
Well, it's you don't need them both. You just don't need them both. They're both svaras, but by Tosfos, the fact that Rashi doesn't even raise it leads me to think that Rashi's understanding is there's no basis for a chiyuv here for the shliach, and if there's no basis for a chiyuv for the shliach, then the meshaleach is chayev, because you can't be mechayev somebody who hasn't got yediyah. Tosfos starts that way, but then he seems to feel that on the iboy ovid, iboy loy ovid, that's not sufficient. And on the Iboil Ovid, Iboil Loy Ovid, Tosfos seems to hold that that's on the Meshaleach. And maybe that's even the machlokes between the two days on whether it's Ein Shliach Devar Aveir, is Divrei Arava, Divrei HaTalmid, or it's Iboil Ovid, Iboil Loy Ovid. If it's Divrei Arava, Divrei HaTalmid, that's what's Mechayev the Shliach. You had no right to do this because you knew it was wrong. And if you Chayev, the Meshaleach is Memele Potter. Whereas the Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid is the Meshaleach's defense. Yes, I told him to do it, but he's a human being who can make his own choices. And so Tosfos seems to learn, so we might just say that Rashi is going bepashtus along the Svora of Divrei Arava, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishoimin, which applies to the Shaliach. And Tosfos says, but even Lamandoma, that it's Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, which is a ptur for the Meshaleach, because the Meshaleach can claim the Shileach has his own ability to choose, even according to that day, the Meshaleach should be Chayiv, because in this case, the Meshaleach had no reason to question whether the Shileach would carry it out.
And Tosfos himself, though, he's the one who gives us this teretz of the Hanulo Yadi. And he's referring there to the shliach. The hanu lo yadi, the asil yadi bi sura, elo sevurin shehayu shalai. That is the shliach himself.
Let me just find that in the Tosfos. Where are you reading? The hanu v'yeh shloma. The hanu lo yadi dati de sura, elo sevurin shehayu shalai. Yes.
That's the shliach.
The shliach. Yes, the shliach.
That's coming from the Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud.
Yes.
Angle.
Yes.
Then he goes further, and then introduces the idea of the mishaleach.
Yes. Uvein lelishna diiboy ovid iboy lo ovid ein shayach lekan the hosom ein yudea shashaliach yavo. Now he switches to the mishaleach. So I think Tosfos is explaining the difference as whether it's a chiyu for the shaliach or a ptur for the mishaleach. That that's actually the machlekes amiroim in the svara for ein shliach l'dvar aver.
Whereas Rashi takes it all from looking at it from one side of ein bar chiyuva.
It seems to be that one. Rashi could be learning like Tosfos, but you would expect Rashi to say something then because it starts getting complex. Right. But if you just learn divrei rava, divrei talmid, divrei mishomin, it's simple. Then one understands very clearly why Rashi doesn't even go there. It's just such an obvious thing that in this case it doesn't apply.
This is the difficulty we have with the Mordechai. The Mordechai seems to combine Ravina and Avsana together.
Especially his last sentence.
So let's have it. You want to look at the Mordechai before the Namuki Yosef?
I think so.
Okay. So let's.
Rashi lists the Mordechai first.
Okay, so let's look at the Mordechai. And the Mordechai is in Bava Metzia.
Reish Lamed Zayin.
What's that? Simon Reish Lamed Zayin.
Right at the beginning of the Mordechai.
Well, the starts the Ovid Kochovim, the Lesley Shlichus.
Yes.
It's actually that it's worth backing up one sentence into.
Pachim in Freshman says, Zechir mitam Shlichus is Raboi. Umikan dan Rabbeinu Meir. Even further back than that?
No, that's it.
Umikan dan Rabbeinu Meir. That's the Maharam Rutenberg. The Ovid, isn't it, right?
Okay.
The Ovid Keichovim, the Lesle Shlichus, Lesle Zechiye, because Zechiye is Mitam Shlichus. Vim Ruven Omar Lishimon Zachei Ba'usan Hamoyes Leivit Kechovim Leizacho Ben Aivit Kechovim Ad Da'atu Liyadei Ayim Perga Gezal Basar etc. Aval Heche the Shiliach Lav Bar Chiyuv. But where it's the Shiliach who's not a Bar Chiyuv? Mechayev Sholchoi. Then the Meshaleach becomes Chayev. Ve'im Omar Lechaveire Kach Lishoy Mi Beis Pleini Shuhu Shili. So he actually says it's mine in this case. We haven't had that before, have we? He just says he's Mare, or he tells him, have we actually said that he says Shehu Sheli?
The Tosfos was like that.
Tosfos was
okay. V'nimtza Sheloi Hoyo Sheloi?
In Bar Metzia.
Okay, we'll go there soon. V'nimtza Sheloi Hoyo Sheloi? Elo Leganvoi Niskavin? Nischayev Sholchoi Ba'achrayu Shelshor Bimshichas HaShaliach. The Meshaleach becomes Chayev. The Kivan, the Hashaliach, Lo Yodo Shehu Gonov, Choshuv Kamei Chotzer. So then we treat it like a Chotzer, even if we hold that Chotzer is Mitam Shlichus. Clearly, Chotzer works even by Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. We won't say that the Chotzer is a Shliach and Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera, because Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera implies moral choice. That's the whole svara of Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. And since by a chotzer there's an automatic, chotzer is the robot case. The chotzer is a robotic kinyan. And there's no moral choice. And the same applies in a shoigeg. with a where a person is just doing a favor or doing his job and has no idea that what he's doing could be wrong, that's also robotic. So you could say that he's saying that he's combining them in into one, or he's saying, as far as Divrei Arav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishnayim, that there's no question we don't have here. The same as we said by Rashi, there's no question of that. That Divrei Arav, Divrei Talmid doesn't apply here. But what might apply here is Iboi Ovid, Lo Iboi Lo Ovid. The fact is, he's not a chotzer. The fact is, he's a human being. And as a human being, he always has choice. And since he's exercising his choice, although he didn't know the dilemma, but since he's exercising choice, maybe he becomes the owner of the action. That's how you become an owner of an action. An owner of a maaseh, that's b'chol ha-teiru. That's how you become chayev for an isur, is because of bechira. Without bechira, there's no ownership. And so if you've got bechira, whether you knew the full moral implications of it or not, maybe just by virtue of having bechira, you become the owner. No, says the Mordechai, the same as Tosfos. Since the Meshaleach had every reason to expect that the Shaleach would carry it out, that's not called Bechira. Again, either because he's a Shomer who's already cleared it or will get something from it, or he's an employee, or he just wants to do a Tova, he wants to do a Chesed. Whatever the reason is, he's helping his fellow, and there's no reason for him to have to go through a moral filter. So Iboi Ovid, Iboi Lo Ovid is a moral filter. It's not just the fact that you have human choice as opposed to a robot that doesn't. That's the important part, both in Tosfos and the Mordechai. So I don't think the Mordechai is learning differently from Tosfos and combining them into two. I think he's just saying, Divrei Arav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishnayim, that's poshut. That doesn't apply here. You'll say, but Iboi Ovid, Iboi Lo Ovid. Now, if you understand the essence of Iboi Ovid, Iboi Ovid, that also doesn't apply here, because that's a p'tur for the Meshaleach, and that p'tur doesn't work here. Same as Tosfos.
So it's almost as if the Mordechai and Tosfos are saying that we have this fundamental klal of Einshlich and Barbera, and there's a machlokes between Ravina and Rav Sama about what the actual mechanism is. But in this case, where there's a lack of yidia, it the whole fundamental rule collapses.
Yes.
Whether it's Ravina, whether it's Rav Sama, it's bigger than both of them.
Yes, and if it collapses for two different reasons, the underlying principle is the same. It's a lack of yidia, but right. In the one case, the lack of yidia removes the chiyuv of the shaleach, and in the other case, it removes the p'tur of the mishaleach.
We got to this because we were trying to figure out who the Mordechai, by paskening like Tosfos, who is he holding like? Is he holding like Ravina? Or is he holding like Rav Sama?
So we don't know that yet. We don't know that yet, nor do we know if you have to decide one or the other. It might even be that Ravina and Rav Sama, the Sforas both apply, where you can apply one of them, it will work with that. They're Sforas, they're both good Sforas. If you hold that they're Sforas, then they're both valid Sforas. The fact that the Meshaleach can say, I thought he would make up his own mind, or the fact that the Shaleach is doing it on having made a moral choice, they're both good for us.
So the Pashas the Gemara Mavitsio, sounds like it's talking about the man being a Baal Bechira as opposed to not, which is now extended to the notion of, yes, but when a person lacks information, we can also say he's in a position of essentially not being a chatzah, not having bechira. It's sort of an extension from the fundamental notion of being baal bechira to having the information available to make a choice. The question here is by Baruch Yuba. The pashtus in Bav Metzia is whether you have a muzar, as Rashi's lashkan is, and the Gemara's there has all sorts of implications as to the
halacha.
The Kohen sending a Yisrael to marry a Grusha, etc. And that extension now into Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmid is a Svara, but the Gemara seems to be taking on Baruch Yuba as sort of, again, that fundamental concept of are you fundamentally Chayev or not? A Chatz is not Chayev, a person is Chayev. So are we saying here the Mordechai, when he uses at the beginning, he starts talking about a Goy, an Ovid Kechavim,
was it Eino Bar Chiyuva?
Which I'm when he talks about Eino Bar Chiyuva, I assume he's coming off the previous statement when he's talking about a non-Jew.
But he doesn't say Eino Bar Chiyuva, does he? He says Les Lei Shlichus.
Well, before that, he begins with
he says starts off saying of. I assume he was talking about previously.
In contrast.
If the Shaliach is Lav Bar Chiyuva, then the Chiyuv stays on the Meshaleach. Because here we've got, the way I would understand it at this stage, and we might want to modify it going further, but the way I would understand Bar Chiyuva at this stage is that if the Shaliach is a Lav Bar Chiyuva, he also has no moral choice in the subject. So if I ask a Goy to be Mechal Shabbos for me, not that that's Mitam Shlichus, but I'm just giving you the example of the moral choice, he doesn't have to go through a moral dilemma as to whether he may or may not. So if he wants to just help me out, of course he's going to do it, and I know he will. But if I ask a Yid to do it, I know he's going to question, what do you mean turn on the light for you on Shabbos? Am I allowed to do that? So where you're not a Bar Chiyuva, it becomes robotic. So certainly from Iboi Ovid, Iboi Lo Ovid, from the sense of the Meshaleach, you're entitled to assume that a Lav Bar Chiyuva is going to do what you ask him to do. And the Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmid also doesn't apply to him. So if Bar Chiyuva means he's not chayiv in this particular thing, like in this particular issue, like that case with Gerushin, then that's how I would learn it. So for him, it's not an issue, so he doesn't have any moral dilemma. There's no reason for him to question it. If we're talking about let Bar Chiyuva altogether, he's a goy, he's a cherishoti bekoton or whatever, and he's not bichlal shlichus, he's not bichlal this particular mitzvah, that might be different, that might be a fundamental principle. But at this point, I'm understanding the way, in the Mordechai, the way he kind of mixes the Bar Chiyuva with the Yodea or any Yodea, I'm seeing it all as a question of to what extent is there moral responsibility on the Shaliach? Because if there is moral responsibility on the Shaliach, the Meshaleach is entitled to say, I left it for him to make his own decisions. I asked him to do something for me, but he's free to say yes or no. And the cases where that doesn't apply is where he's a Shoegeg, he doesn't know what's going on, or he's a Lav Bar Chiyuva. And you've got the Trumas Hadeshin's case, the other extreme of where he's Mufursa, where we know he doesn't care about the moral stuff. He's a Mummer, as far as that's concerned. So the same.
The struggle, though, is that when the Mordechai opens, he says, Eichad Shliach Lav Bar Chiyuva Hu, then we're going to be Mechayev the Mishaleh.
Yes.
And then at the end he says that this person, because he lacks yidia, is choshev kamo chatzar. So
right.
He takes this human being who, you know, had at one point
a
Bar Chiyuva, and now I...
technical sense.
Right. Fundamental technical sense, he's a Bar Chiyuva, and now I categorize him as a chatzar, removing
yes.
his choice. So we felt that there's a mixing of
now, I think it's just different ways of removing the choice. What we really want to come to is there a reasonable expectation on the Shaliach to make a choice?
Question.
So to make a choice, you need to have a dilemma.
Right.
And if you don't have a dilemma, there's no Bechira. So if you're not a Bar Chiyuva, there's no dilemma. Or if you're a Shoegeg, there's no dilemma.
So is it a correct statement to say that any shliach who lacks yidia, like Tosfos says, he lacks yidia, can you say he's therefore an Ein of Bar Chiyuva?
No, I wouldn't use that lotion. I would say that there are two ways to come to yesh shliach l'dvar aver. The one is his Ein of Bar Chiyuva, and the one is his Ein of Yodea. Because both of those remove from him moral responsibility. They removed for two different reasons. In one case, they removed because you're a Lav Bar Chiyuva. In one case, it's removed because you ain't you're there. So it's not accurate to say it's about... These are two different causes of the same outcome. The outcome is you have no responsibility.
But Ein Bar Chiyuva uses a euphemism for not having moral... that's not in the world dilemma.
Well, I don't think it's a euphemism. I think it's a cause. If you're Eino Bar Chiyuva, you don't have moral dilemma.
But maybe you are an Eino Bar Chiyuva because you didn't have the moral dilemma.
Okay, no. Let's put it a different way. He seems to be using the technical idea of Eino Bar Chiyuva is you fundamentally or halachically not muzhar.
Right.
But now we're both in the Iboi Avi Lord. Which seems to be more closer to this idea of moral dilemma. We're also extending this idea of Enabar Chiyuva being a technical muzar, not muzar, to in your circumstances, because you lack knowledge, you're Enabar Chiyuva. You're a shoegeg.
Well, where do you see that Enabar is an Enabar Chiyuva? What part of the Mordechai are you seeing that in?
Simply by the beginning. Hecha deshliach lav bar Chiyuva hu. Mechayev Sholchai.
Right. Period.
Right. Oh, that was our discussion. When it says Ve'im, is there, Brian put a period there.
Yes. Period. New halacha.
So that's a pure technical, someone's muzar, yes, if he's not muzar, no, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, now, but there's a reason there too. The reason that no is because he doesn't have moral dilemma. And therefore, the chiyuv goes back to the mishaleach, who's the only person in this transaction who has moral dilemma.
Okay.
Ownership is with the person who had the last moral dilemma.
He doesn't have a rav.
He doesn't have a rav who's told him anything different. In fact, he does have a rav, but his rav has told him it's mutter.
Okay.
He's got sheva mitzvos b'nei nach. This is not one of them.
Okay, and then, so now what are we beginning when we say v'im? We have a v'im case where...
Now let's look at another case of where the shliach could be potter because he's had no moral dilemma. If you say that Eino Bar Chiyuva makes the shliach potter because he doesn't have moral dilemma, what about where he doesn't have moral dilemma for a different reason? Eino Yodea.
I see.
And that's okay. The same.
So I'd like to see in Bar Matzia if we can learn through this moral dilemma concept.
In Bar Matzia. So have you got a bit of time to do that now quickly? How are you running on time?
I'm okay. The question is, well, we're done with the Mordechai.
We have a Mahalik in the Mordechai.
We have a Mahalik, which we have felt.
I'd like to test it in the Gemara.
So I would like to tell you, if we can do that now quickly, let's do a let's just try that in the Gemara. If we hit problems, we might have to resolve them next week, but let's try. So where are we on Daf Yud Amud Beis?
Yes.
In Bava Metzia.
Begins with Rish Lakish. Well, yeah. We have to start there.
The Amar Rish Lakish Mishim Abad Kohen Bartel. Katana in Lachasa.
The Amar Rish Lakish, that's about the third down the page. For Amar Rish Lakish Mishim Abad Kohen Bartel, Katana in Lachasa. Ve'en lo arba amis. Rabbi Yechonon, Mishum Rabbi Yanai, Omer Yesh lo chotze ve'yesh lo arba amis. So we have a machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon, whether a ketano has a din chotze. B'may kam ifligi, mar sove chotze mishum yado yisra bo iki echidis lo yad chotze nami yisla. The one holds that the whole din of chotze comes from yodo, from the fact that the Torah talks about her hand, and her hand is like a chotzer, just as she has a hand, that's a biological fact, she has chotzer. U'masav ha-chotzer mishum shlichus disraboy, and the other one is no, yad, the chotzer comes from shlichus, chotzer has got nothing to do with yodo, chotzer is an extension of the principle of shlichus, v'chiechi, the shlichus leste chotzer nami leste. Ask the Gemara, mi ike mandom ha-chotzer mishum shlichus disraboy, where do we see anybody who says that chotzer works as a form of shlichus? That's quite a difficult concept to say that chotzer is shlichus. Where would that come from? We learn that if it's found in the ganav's hand, it's interesting, it's all this week's parasha. If it's found in the ganav's hand, does it mean it has to actually be in his hand? And if it's found on his property, it doesn't work? No, since it says himatze timatze mikol mokum, we learn from the riboy of himatze timatze that it doesn't matter where you find it. It doesn't have to be dafki in his hand. So now that the Torah has been marbe chotzer for the ganav, and chotzer is mitam shlichus. We have a case of ein shliach lidvar avera, of yesh shliach lidvar avera. The kamel and ein shliach lidvar avera. How can that be? So we're starting off at this point, assuming that ein shliach lidvar avera is a universal principle of Torah, which has to be applied universally and is not a svara.
Right, and it's a question on Reish Lakish.
And then it's a question on Reish Lakish, right?
He holds that shlichus is mitam. Chatzar is mitam shlichus.
Right. And half a second. So says the Gemara, the Kaiman and Shlichus, Omar Avina, Hecha Amrin den Shlichus, Varavera Hech the Shlich Bar Chiyuvihu. Now, this is not a universal principle of Torah. Ein shlich ledvar avera is a svara. Aval b'chotzer delav bar chiyuvu mechayiv shofar. But that can only work where there is a chiyuv on the shliach. Then we can talk about who's chayiv and who's potter. But if the term chayiv and potter doesn't even apply to the shliach, then there's no talk of the shliach being chayiv.
And it goes on the mishaleach.
And it must go on the mishaleach. Elo meato oimer liisho ve'eved tzu'u ginvu li delav b'nei chiyuvininu. So you now tell an isho or an eved to go and ganav. Are we going to say also that yeshliach lidvar, that ein shliach lidvar avera there because they're not b'nei chiyuve? Hachinami de mechayev sholchem. Amris isho ve'eved b'nei chiyuvininu. No, these are b'nei chiyuve. V'hashto mi'o les lehu li shilume. It's just that they don't have any money of their own to pay, so the mishalach has to pay. There's nothing inherent in the person, in the gavra, that makes them not bar chiyuve. It's just their circumstance that makes them unable to be a bar chiyuve. So maybe up till there we could even say, all the way up till here, it's formalistic. It's fundamental.
Yeah, well, we kind of switched for a moment. When we started Ravina, we thought we were switching to Svara.
Yes, but let's say not. Let's try not. Let's say that all this time, we're on fundamental, and there's a principle of Bar Chiyuva. That's one of the rules of Shlichus.
Meaning that there's this fundamental law of Ancient Varavera.
Right.
And then there's the criteria, though.
Now, Rashi does not learn that way. Because Rashi says on Bar Chiyuva, who? So Rashi is already throwing in Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmid.
Yeah.
So there are two ways of learning Ravina.
Right.
The one is that he's already coming on to Svora and saying that this Svora only applies with a Bar Chiyuva, as Rashi learns. And the other would be to say that Bar Chiyuv is just part of the formula.
Right, no matter what the practical or
right. Rav Sama Omar, Hei Chamrin Ein Shlich Dvar Avera, Hei Chedi Yiboy Ovid, Vi Yiboy Yiloy Ovid. Aval Chotzer Dibar Koch, Hei Moise Yiboy Mechayev Shofa. Just half a second. Says the Gemara has not yet introduced the Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishnah. Is that right?
But
the Gemara here has not yet introduced it. So Rashi is assuming that that's what Ravina is based on. Is that right?
Yes.
Rashi is assuming that Ravina is based on Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishnah. And Rav Sama comes and says,
right,
and
Rashi explaining him says, you know, he has a choice to do the shlichus or not do the shlichus.
Yeah, not to do the avera or not.
Right.
So it's irrelevant of whether he knows it's an avera or not. Since he can say yes or no to the shlichus, he becomes a balabos on the maise.
Right.
So the question is, does it have to be moral choice or is it any choice? That's the way Rashi learns. That if it's moral choice, Ravina says, but where there's no moral choice, then the Meshaleach is Chayev. Ravina says, and Rav Sama says, no, any choice makes him a Bailim on the Maisa.
Oh.
The fact that you used Bechira, but a Chotzer has no choice at all.
And what would introduce choice here. If there isn't, you know, what motivates the first choice was the moral choice. What choice are we talking about?
The choice to follow the shlichus or not. You I ask you to help me out. You can say yes or no.
You mean just that I'm a human being?
Yes, makes you a bailim of that maaser. Now, once you're a bailim of that maaser, you should start checking out whether the maaser is kosher or not.
There's no focus in Rav Sama at all on the mishaleach.
No. In this case, the way Rashi learns it, you could say that that's the ptur for the mishaleach. Since the shaliach is free to say yes or no, when he says yes, the mishaleach is no longer the owner of the maaser.
Okay, so
he's transferred ownership of the maaser to the shaliach.
Right, but the mishaleach influences that choice
in Ravina.
Yeah.
Well, it becomes a very interesting thing because now you're saying, what about manipulation?
Right.
So if the mishaleach manipulates the shaliach,
yeah,
and he can do that implicitly by
telling him it's
a shoyl, and he says, go and, you know, take the animal there, you can borrow it. Or he actually says, the way the Mordechai says, that he actually says that it's shili, where he's dishonestly manipulating the shaliach. The interesting thing is that even then, the shaliach is...
According to Rav Sama, the shaliach is off the hook.
So it comes out from Rav Sama, there's just a huge level of personal accountability when it comes to choice. When you make a choice, you're taking ownership of the maaser. And just as if you were to take ownership of a house that I sell you, you would want to know that there's no mortgage on the house and the house belongs to me. You would check those things out because there's a lot of money involved. When there's an olam haba involved, you should also check it out.
Don't just do tovis for people.
Check it out, yeah. You become accountable when you do something. And you're entitled to know what you're doing. So according to Rav Sama, there's massive accountability on any choice you make.
And you have to concern yourself that you might be being manipulated at any time.
And you should be aware that you might be being manipulated, yes. The responsibility is yours. That's really the difference. According to Ravina, you only have to worry about manipulation if you have reason to believe that this could be, that this is... You have probable cause, as the police say. Then you can. Then you should got to stop and say, "Hey, what's going on here?" But according to Rav Samet, if you take on ownership of a maaser, you've got to check. That's what zahirus is. Zahirus is to check that something that you're doing, although it appears okay, is in fact okay. That there's no tzadis, or the way the Mesilas Yesharim talks about with zahirus there to even start going into, especially when you come to nikius. To even start going into intention. What is your intention? Is there any isur in your intention? Is there ego in your intention? All of those things come into an act of bechira. An act of bechira is not digital. It's not either yes or no. An act of bechira is a long scale of right or wrong. And the more of a tzaddik you are, the more you'll check it out. But Rav Sama says it's a basic requirement. If you choose to do something, you're the balabos of that choice, which is beautiful because it means there's no victim mentality at all. You can never say, it wasn't my fault, and I didn't know, and I didn't think. You can never, ever say that. Bechira is so important that it becomes yours and it's your obligation to do.
However, you're categorized as a shogeg versus a...
Yes, you can be a shogeg. You can be a shogeg.
So your lack of information, or I didn't know, does help you to...
Yes, but a shogeg is chayav korban chatos.
Right, right.
So it's still your ownership. There's still wrongdoing. A shogeg doesn't remove moral responsibility. A shogeg only removes punishment.
So this is a little bit different than we were saying earlier. We were learning Iboy Avid, Lo Yibavid as the Mishaleach's ptur.
Yes, but the reason the Mishaleach has a ptur is because the accountability moves to the Shaliach.
Or we're saying here that the Shaliach always has a chiyuv to make sure that... So Iboy Avid Lo Yibavid, he has a chiyuv
to make sure that
when he does something...
But that then lends a ptur to the Mishaleach.
Or does it make him fire when he does the wrong thing and pop it?
What do you mean, is it all on the Shaliach?
Well, I'm wondering the way Rashi learns, if he wants to be the shlichus, So you take full responsibility for doing it. So is that therefore
then on the shaliach?
Yeah.
I think it's still the mashaleach, because I think that's the whole point is it's got nothing to do with avera or not avera. It's got to do with the ability to say no. The fact that you have the ability to say no and you said yes means you took responsibility for the action. So I, as the mashaleach, am off. And again, the reason we came onto this is to the Lashon of Tosfos in Bava Kamma, where he clearly uses this as an element of the mashaleach. I guess you could say that it's a chiyuv of the shiliach, but it's going quite far to say you're actually chayev. You're chayev for something that you were totally shoygeg on, even more than shoygeg. You were completely misled on. Why would you be? Why does that create a chiyuv?
Lamaisa,
you're chayev because the mashaleach is potter and he handed that over to you. So it comes out it's a little bit of a narrow line as to which one it is. The fact is the shaleach is chayev. The fact is the mashaleach is potter. It's just from the Lashon of Tosfos. It seems that, then you might say, so what's the machlokes? I think what we've done here is we've said there could be a machlokes between them, even if they're both a chayev for the shaleach. The nafkimina would be if there needs to be a reasonable doubt on the part of the shaliach. If there's reason to question, so if you wanted to say they're both on the shaliach, then you would say that according to Ravina, you're only chayiv if you had reason to believe that this was the Talmud had told you to do something against what the Rav has told you. But if you don't know that he's told you anything different, then you wouldn't be chayiv. Whereas b'boy ovid means since you could always turn down the shlichus, the fact that you chose to do it means that it's yours, belongs to you. But is that enough to make a person chayiv? That's strange to say that. Whether that's the chayiv itself, I don't know. But as a shliach, both ways it's difficult. The fact is, when you as a shoygeg, it's quite hard to say the shliach is chayiv.
Let's see the Gemara's nafkaminas.
So then the Gemara says, "My binayu, iki binayu koyen de omer lo leli Yisrael, say v'kadesh li isho gerusho." So go and be mekadesh and isho gerusho. So what will we say? Inami ish de omer lo le isho akvili koton. So what will the din be? So says Rashi, Umishas kidushum over mishlom yichu, isho ena bazoros loitakifu, levisha ena bavar tashis beazakancho. So in these two cases, the shiliach is not a bar chiyuv in the particular isur he or she is being asked to do. Bamakif is a kot mechayiv, shamakif bazor, kenikak, kudikhtiv loitakifu. Mashman is a kotan, denokat mishum bistam a god or loishovik lakufi nafshik. So in those two cases, if you say that it's divrei Rav, divrei Talmid, divrei Mishaimin, you would be potter.
It's irrelevant to me. The moral dilemma here is not relevant to me as a shliach.
My Rav didn't tell me I can't do this.
Yeah.
So I'll do it. And you should know that I'm going to do it. And therefore, in this case, we would say, the mashalach is chayev ein shliach ledvar aver.
What about Kol Yisrael a raven? Why does my moral dilemma not extend to the fact that I'm like...
Yeah, I wondered about that a bit also.
Well, lifnei iver? It's not lifnei. It's a reverse lift, unless it's...
I wondered about that a little bit. There's no issur. The fact is...
there's no issur for the woman herself.
And what are we talking about, shoygeg here or not?
So maybe
but it doesn't seem so that the shliach doesn't know that he's a kohen. Doesn't seem so. Let's say that he knows. So that
Rashi says that the cotton, well, that's a bit
different. So in those cases, it would seem. But if he boy ovid, he boy lo ovid. The moment you agree to do it, you're taking on ownership of the maaseh. It makes no difference whether you're a bar chiyuv or not. So here you see Bar Chiyuv and Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmid are linked. Because if you're not a Bar Chiyuv, it removes the Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmid Svora.
This sounds like a very, very technical notion. Look, Lamaisa, I'm not a Kohen, so this Issa does has nothing to do with me at all, not about you. This doesn't sound like a moral.
Well, you're not asking me to do anything that my Rav has told me not to do.
But there still is a consequence to your action, and you still, even though your Rav never told you, you still should be thinking it through and, you know, on the e-boy. So if he Ravina, it would be the Mishaleach. And how does it fit on Iboy?
So if you would say that Ravina is talking technically, that the Svora doesn't get introduced until later, then it's all very simple. Then technically it's not a Bachiyuv, and therefore in Shlechot V'Avera doesn't apply, and that's the end of the story. But if you say, like Rashi says, that you incorporate Divrei Rav, Divrei HaTalmid into Ravina, and a Lav Bachiyuv is not a Divrei Rav, Divrei HaTalmid, yes, I know that you're not allowed to do that. That's your problem. That's your moral choice. You're asking me to do this, so you need to know I'm going to do it. And the reason I'm doing it is because I know I won't be Chayev. So again, let's say I'm your employee, or let's say you have some power over me. It's easier to look at it that way. Because otherwise you start saying, so why did the person make the choice? He didn't have to. But if I'm your employee and you tell me to go and I'm very dependent on the job and I've been working with you for years and I trust you, and you tell me to go and be Mekadesh this issue, and I say, look, I can do it. If you're okay with it, for me, it's not there's not an issue. It's like, again, like let's say a goy who knows Hilcha Shabbos, and I say to the goy, turn on the light, or go and do this for you, go and buy this for me. The goy says to himself, look, I can do it. It's no problem for me. Are you sure it's okay with you? And then the Balabas says, I'm telling you to do it. Don't question me. So it doesn't, there's no Divrei Rav here. So according to Rashi, there's no, in Ravina too, it's not technical. According to Rashi, it works from Sfora from the beginning. And that's the Mordechai, that's Rashi, and that's Tosfos.
And that's why Tosfos' explanation of Rashi makes sense, because it's consistent then with the whole thing with the Sfora.
Yes, and that's all one school of thought. That's all one school of thought. The problem will be the Nemuchi Yosef.
And the other Rashi that the source puts down. Right.
And then the whole thing of Me'ilah, which is where we'll come onto that Noda B'Yehuda, but the where we'll get into some difficulty. But at this point, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Mordechai all follow a clear shita. Whether you say Divrei Rav, Divrei HaTalmid, or you say Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, both of them are Sforas. Bar Chiyuve is just a way that you remove the Sfora of Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomin. Shoigeg is another way to remove that Sfora. And
Ravina and Rav Sama are aligned then.
And Ravina and Rav Sama, they give two different Sforas for the Halacha.
They're aligned in it being Sfora.
They're aligned. According to Rashi, it's Mefurish that they are. According to Rashi, it's Mefurish. We could have learned the Gemara differently and said Ravina was saying it was technical, but Rashi clearly says that Ravina learns the Sfora of Divrei Rav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomin, and that's the Pashtus of the Mordechai also, where he works with Bar Chiyuv and he brings it in. That's the Pashtus. So that's all aligned, that it's all a Sfora. You're right, when we get into Me'ilah, so now this is all in Mominus. In Mominus, it's fine to work with Sforas. What the Ktzos throws in afterwards is what happens when you get into Mila.
And we haven't seen the Shach yet.
Well, we haven't seen that. It all starts with the Nemuchi Yosef.
Correct. Sorry.
It all starts with the Nemuchi Yosef.
That's right.
Because if you're going to say, as the Nemuchi Yosef wants to say, that Shoigeg doesn't remove, you know, there's still Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera even by Shoigeg, then you've got to learn the Mishnah, the first Lashon of in Rashi, and everything changes. And that's what the Shach will argue.
Yeah.
that in fact that is the right way to learn the Mishnah. And if that's the right way to learn the Mishnah, then you can learn like the Rimki Yosef, that Ein Shliach Lidvar Avera is a universal principle, and it's not a Sfora.
Did we see the Shach mention the Mishnah Kama and Rashi?
Yeah, I think the Shach, the basis of the whole Shach, is to say that's the way to learn that Mishnah.
Right. Brought his Raya as well.
Because otherwise, that's the whole.
The Shach of Atari on the Shach.
The Nemuka Yosef himself said that.
Yes.
Right.
So that we'll do then in Yitzhak Hashem next week.